Today's shiur is Masechta Be'yadav Tezvav, and we will begin on Tezvav Amud Aleph, 7 lines from the bottom. Avaloi Sandal Hamasumer. The Mishnah taught us that one of the items that could be not sent as a present on Yontif is a sandal masumer, a spiked shoe. Ask the Gemara, sandal masumer my tamaloi. Why can't we send a sandal masumer on Yontif as a gift? Says the Gemara, because this incident that's quoted in Masechta Shabbos Daf Samach, the Gemara says that there was a situation once where there were Jews, a large number of Jews, hiding in a cave, and out of concern that no one should be caught, they agreed amongst themselves that everyone would remain in the cave. No one would leave the cave for concern that they may be caught leaving and expose all the people in the cave. There were types of shoes worn in those days that it was difficult to tell what were the front and what was the back. And one of the people who had entered the cave was wearing such a pair of shoes. When the people in the cave saw the footprints of that shoe, they panicked and they thought that somebody had left the cave, and they all started to run out of the cave at one time in panic. And some of the people in the cave were wearing shoes that were a sandal hamasumer. A sandal hamasumer is a spiked shoe, and because there was such a rush of people going out wearing these spiked shoes, people were hurt by the spiked shoes, even though there were really no goyim even chasing them at that point. At that point, Chazal made a rule that on Shabbos and Yontif, whenever there was a time when there's a large gathering of people to coming together, they should not wear sandal and some they should not wear spiked shoes. Others explain because that story occurred on a Shabbos, Chazal said that on Shabbos Yontif you're not allowed to wear sandal and summer. Says the Gemara, since we're not allowed to wear a sandal and summer on Yontif, therefore you're not allowed to send it as a gift on Yontif. Amrabaya, sandal hamasumer, osel naloi, it may not be worn on Shabbos or Yontif. However, mutlatatloi, it may be carried. Because as the Svasemus explains, even if we'll say that it's a kli shemalachta l'isser, because it's used, primary use is l'isser, you can't wear it. But even a kli shemalachta l'isser may be worn l'tzorich gufay mekay, maybe use l'tzorich gufay mekaymay. And certainly, if you have a use for it, you could wear it. Oslo naloi, what's the reason you're not allowed to wear it? Mishamashi shahay, because of the story that we just quoted. Mutla tatloi, what's the proof that it may be carried? Midiktani, since it says in our Mishnah, Eim shalchim, one may not send a sam hamasumer. This alkadatach oslo tatloi, if the aloha would be that it's such a level of muksa that it may not even be moved, so the question is, hashtel tatulei osur, if it's us to move it, does our Mishnah mishalch mibayi, does our Mishnah have to tell us that it's not allowed to be sent as a gift? The fact that our Mishnah teaches us that it may not be sent as a gift is a very clear indication that it may be moved, it just may not be sent as a gift. V'loi minol shenetofer, one may not send an unsown show, says the Gemara Peshitta. Obviously, it's useless. Answers the Gemara, it's even put together with pegs. Rashi says, two pshatim. One pshat is that it's put together with pegs, and since it's put together pegs, it's not really considered a shoe, even though it is somewhat usable. Another pshat that Rashi gives is that it has just a few stitches in the front and the back, and in the side, and therefore it's not really considered a shoe, even though it's somewhat sewn together. Also, a white shoe should not be sent on Yontif because it still needs significant work on it. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Mata B'Shocher, he allows a black shoe to be sent. For also beloved, he says a white shoe may not be sent. It needs a certain type of earth which was used to polish the color of the shoes black, and it's till, and that's a job that's still missing from the shoe. Until that is done, no one would wear such a shoe, and therefore such a shoe may not be sent on Yontif. Rav Yossi says even a black shoe can't be sent because it still needs smoothing. And as the Rishonim explained, Rav Yossi is not arguing with Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that a loven may not be sent. Rav Yossi agrees that a white shoe may not be sent. Rav Yossi goes one step further and he says that even a black shoe under certain circumstances may not be sent, which the Gemara will explain. V'loy pligi, except the Gemara Yehuda and Rav Yossi are not arguing. Ma kasrei, each one is referring to the way shoes were made in the place where they lived. Ba'asrei the mar, where Rav Yehuda lived, ba'asrei l'sachas, the flesh side of the hide was inside the shoe. When we take the leather, we take the hide of an animal, so there's the part that's towards the outside, which is smooth, and there's the flesh, which is towards the inside of the animal, which is not smooth. That part needs to be smoothed out. But that only needs to be done if the shoe is going to be, if that's the part that's seen outside. Nobody's going to walk outside with a shoe that's not smoothed out. So therefore, if the flesh part is outside, we can't wear it until it's smoothed. If the flesh part is towards the inside, it can be worn. And that's exactly what the Gemara says. In Rabbi Yehuda's place, they wore the flesh side towards the inside. So since they wore it toward the inside, the shoe could be worn even without smoothing out. But Asri, the Mar, however, where Rabbi Yossi lived, Bisra La'el, the flesh side was facing outside. Therefore, smoothing was required before the shoe could be worn. And if it wasn't, it's now wearable and cannot be sent as a gift on Shabbos. The Mishnah continues, teach us that cloud. The rule is, kol shenusim baba yontif, whatever may be used on yontif could be sent as a gift. Says the Gemara, Rav Sheshes sharu l'rabbanan, Rav Sheshes allowed the rabbanan, l'shidurei tefillin b'yom tovim, to send tefillin on yontif. And as Rashi explains, even though the halacha is, we'll amplify what Rashi says, we'll let the other Rishonim teach us. Even though the halacha is that in Yontif we don't wear tefillin, Shabbos Yontif we don't wear tefillin. The reason is, given that tefillin is an ois, as we say, v'hoyu l'ois al yotcha, and Shabbos and Yontif are an ois by themselves, so therefore on Shabbos and Yontif we don't need to wear tefillin, and we don't wear tefillin. And in Shabbos we're specifically concerned not to wear tefillin, as the Gemara Masechta Shabbos explains, because we're concerned that Chas v'Shalom, the ritzua of the tefillin will tear, and then one may come to carry. That concern doesn't exist on Yontif. Still, we don't wear tefillin on Yontif, but the Gemara is teaching us that Rav Sheshes allowed the Rav send tefillin on Yontif. So Rashi explains that even though we don't wear tefillin on Yontif, since it's not usher to wear tefillin, it's just that Shabbos loves man tefillin, but it's not that it's usher to wear tefillin on Shabbos or Yontif, and therefore one may send tefillin. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says, well, tonight, kol shenusim b'yontif mishachon etzai. Whatever could be used on Yontif, we could send. If we can't wear tefillin on Yontif, why could we send it? Answers the Gemara, Hachkam, kol shenusim b'bechol, anything could be worn on a weekday, mishachon etzai b'yontif, we could send on Yontif. Ask Tosfos that if that's the case, so we're learning now that anything that could be used during the week could be sent as a gift on Yontif, so why do we say that the sandal hamasumer may not be sent as a gift on Yontif? Yes, it may not be worn on Yontif, but it's worn during the week. And now we're learning that anything that's worn during the week can be sent on Yontif. So Tosfos says that since, as we learned earlier, the sandal masumer caused sakana by Klal Yisrael, caused Klal Yisrael to be in danger, that's why Chazal were more machmer. Another reason is that if we will allow the sandal to, masumer to be sent on Yontif, people may come to make an error and think that Chazal repealed this gezeira that you're not allowed to wear a sandal in Sumer and Yontif. In other words, everyone knows that tefillin may not be worn in Yontif. So if somebody's going to send somebody else a gift of tefillin and Yontif, he's not going to come to make a mistake and believe that tefillin may be worn on Yontif. However, sandal masumer is not such a well-known gzeira, and it was also because of one specific incident that Chazal made the gzeira. One may come to make an error and think that a sandal masumer could be worn in Yontif. That's why there were more machmer on sandal masumer. Rabbi Kivega points out, from here we see that anything that can be used during the week and causes good feeling between the sender of the gift and the recipient of the gift may be sent on Yontif. And therefore he says even items that can't be used on Yontif can be given as gifts, a husband to a wife, he discusses, because it'll cause a good feeling. There's an interesting Hagos Oshri. The Hagos Oshri says that the reason why the Chazal was specifically makel regarding tefillin is because, as we have discussed previously, there's a shaila if tefillin are worn on Chol HaMoed. Says that Hagos Oshri, what the Gemara is trying to point out is that since tefillin are worn on Chol HaMoed, that's why on Yontif one could send someone else a tefillin and, so to speak, telling him you're going to need the tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and that's why that's why I'm sending to you already today on Chol HaMoed. Amar Abaye, tefillin ha'av asin liyodim. Since we have begun to discuss Hilchos Tefillin, name Baba Milsa. We'll say another halacha about the tefillin. Hay Baba Derech. It's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. If somebody is walking on the road on Friday afternoon, Friday evening, with tefillin v'roishoy, and he's wearing tefillin, v'shakal avchama, and the sun sets on him. So the halacha is, what should he do? He can't leave it where it is. It's out in the open. Says the Gemara, what he should do is meniach yodi aleihem. He should put his hand on top of the tefillin, ach megiel lebeisa, until he gets home. Hayoyish beis medrash. If he was sitting in a beis medrash, the tefillin beroyshoy and the tefillin on his head, bekiddush shavu loyoyim, and Shabbos begins again, and he doesn't want to leave the tefillin in the beis medrash, as Rashi explains. In those days, the bate medrash were in the field, and leaving them the tefillin overnight in that unprotected area was unacceptable. So therefore it teaches us meniach yad aleihem ad shemegiel beisa. There's a fundamental question which leads to two different approaches to understanding this Gemara. The Rishonim ask, the Gemara is teaching us two situations about how a person was caught wearing the tefillin when he can't be wearing them anymore. But the Rishonim point out the Gemara changes the language. In the first case it said v'shokol avachama, the sun set. In the second case it says kiddush avalov hayoyim. Why does it use different terminology? So the Ramban says they're both referring to Friday afternoon. But he says they lived in a world without clocks and watches. So Friday afternoon he's walking outdoors. He doesn't know what time it is. How does he know when it's Shabbos? Shokol avachama, the sun sets. In the other case he's sitting in the base medrash. As we learned earlier in this perek, in the city, in the towns, they used to have tekiah shofar, they used to have a shofar blow to indicate when it was Shabbos, and that's why he became aware that it's Kiddush HaYom. The Tosfos, because of this question, has an entirely different approach. He says the first case is that it's not Friday afternoon, it's during the week. But the halacha is that we don't wear tefillin at night either, and it's during the week, and he's walking and he's wearing tefillin, and it becomes night. The Gemara tells us, what does he do? And the Gemara tells us that he should continue wearing them, but cover them with his hands. Ask Tosfos, if it's during the week and there's no issue of carrying, so why doesn't he just carry it in his hands? So Tosfos says carrying in his hands was not something that Chazal advocated because they were concerned that he may drop him. So the Gemara says wear them but cover them. And the second case, there he agrees with Rashi, is referring to a situation where it's Friday afternoon and it becomes Shabbos and he's wearing tefillin and he's the Beis Medrash outside of the town. Ask the Rashba, ostensibly, what's the reason that we Chazal told him to cover the tefillin with his hand? Because it's Marisayan. People shouldn't see him wearing tefillin at night, according to Tosfos. People shouldn't see him wearing tefillin on Shabbos. Ask the Rashba, we learned in this perek, that Maris Ayin, that when there's a concern of Maris Ayin, even B'chadri Chadorim, Maris Ayin is Osir. Certainly, says the Rashba, just putting your hands on top of the tefillin will not solve the problem of Maris Ayin. Says the Rashba, that the concern here is not Maris Ayin. The person has no choice. He's not going to leave his tefillin in the Beis Medrash outside the city. He's not going to leave the tefillin on the road. The reason Chazal says, the Rashba said, that he should cover the tefillin with his hand, is that will serve to remind him that as soon as he gets home, it's night, it's Shabbos, remove the tefillin. Masraf Hunabarei Rav Ika, it says in a Braisa, Hi, Baba Derev, a tefillin Baroshoi, if somebody's walking and he's wearing the tefillin, the Kiddush Shalav HaYoyim and becomes Shabbos, Menich Yad HaAleim, he should put his hands on top of it, until he reaches the first house in the city, inside the wall. Similarly, if somebody is sitting in Beis Medrash, v'kiddush olav hayoyim, and it becomes Shabbos, m'nich yod aleihem, he puts his hands over the tefillin, until he reaches the first home. Here we see that he can't go all the way home. Here it says that we should get only to the first house. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Hadmintra, the Braisa that says they should put it down in the first house is if the tefillin will remain protected if you put it in that house. Hadloimintra, when Abai says that you could carry it all the way home, is by leaving it in that closest house, he could, he can't leave it in that closest house because it's going to be unprotected, so there he could carry it all the way home. Says the Ritva, that if it's not protected in the first house, he asked the following shaila: what will be the din if in the first house it's not protected, but there are houses between the first house and your house? Is the halacha that since it couldn't be left in the first house, you could carry it all the way home? Or is the halacha, put it in the first house that you can? Says the Ritva, that once you can't leave it in the first house, because that house, as we said, is unprotected, then the halacha is you can carry it all the way home. And he points out further that even though we're speaking about a situation where the city has a wall around it, and I'm entering the city because I can't leave it outside the city, so I would think since I entered the city with the wall, and I'm allowed to carry in a city with a wall around it, so I could go all the way home, teaches us the Gemara, teaches us the Braisa, that if the first house is a protected area, then I have to leave it there and don't carry it all the way home. Ask the Gemara, Eidolai Mintra, if Abai is referring to a situation where the first house is not protected, my area Baroshoi, why do we have to speak about a case where he's wearing the tefillin, afilu mochsam ba'ara nami, even if he finds them on the ground, it should be the same halacha, dotnan, as we learned the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, hamaitzi tefillin, and somebody finds pairs of tefillin on the ground on Shabbos, rachman l'tzlan, machnitzam, zog zog, he should put them on a pair at a time and carry it home, and he should keep on going back and forth until he carries the tefillin. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Hadamintra machmas kanvi or machmas kalmi. The Braisa, which tells the person to put the tefillin in the house closest to the city, is talking about a house that's protected both from thieves and dogs. Hadamintra machmas kalvi, where the Abaye tells us that he should take the tefillin to one home, is talking in a case where the closest house is protected from dogs. However, v'loy mintri machmas ganvi, but it's not protected from thieves. So ma'ad teima, what Abaye is coming to teach us is, we would think that roiv listi yisraelinu, most thieves are Jews, and Jews, even if they're thieves, still respect tefillin, v'loy mezalzel behu, and therefore will not desecrate the tefillin, and it's therefore safe to leave the tefillin in the closest house, k'mashmalon, That's what Abiyai teaches us, that we cannot rely on this assumption, and one should take the tefillin to his own house, even if the first house is protected from dogs, it's just not protected from ganavim. We should not assume that the ganavim are Jews and will not desecrate the tefillin. And the Miri says this, of course, this entire discussion is only in an area where most of the people living are Jews. So if most of the people living in that area are Jews, so most of the ganavim proportionally are Jews. Certainly we're not going to make an establishment that all the most ganavim in the world are Jews. And that's what Abai is teaching us, that if there's any question of Bezayin Tefillin, he could carry the Tefillin all the way home. Hadron Lachbeya, Hadron Lachbeya, Hadron Lachbeya. The next Perek that we begin to learn, Be'ezer Hashem, Perek Yontif, begins to discuss the halachas. We discussed this in Masechta Pesachim of Erev Tavshilin. If Yontif comes out on Friday and the day after is Shabbos, and we know that we can't prepare food on Shabbos, so the question is, why can we prepare food on Yom Tov Friday for Shabbos? And we refer back to Gemara and Masechta Pesachim that taught us a machloikis of Rav Chisda and Rabba, that are very basic machloikis in approaching this shaila. Rav Chisda holds Tzarcha Shabbos Nasim v'Yom Tov. Midaraisa, one could cook on Friday for Yontif. And therefore, Midaraisa, it's Friday, Yontif, we could cook. Chazal, however, required that in order that a person should not make a mistake and think that just like he cook on Yontif for Shabbos, he could cook for a weekday, the Erev Tavshilin reminds us that you only could be cooking on Yontif for Shabbos, not for any other situation. As we know, you can't even cook on Yontif for another day of Yontif. And there's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to understand Rav Chisda. Rashi learns that according to Rav Chisda, when we have Yontif and then Shabbos two consecutive days, it's considered Kedusha Achas. It's considered, according to Rav Chisda, one long Kedusha. Tosfos learns that since we need to prepare food for Shabbos, which is the next day, Rav Chisda says that the Torah considers that a situation of Eichel Nefesh. And as we've been learning, all Eichel Nefesh is Mutar on Yontif, says Rav Chisda that this is considered a situation of Eichel Nefesh. Rava has a very different approach. Rava holds that Tzarche Shabbos Ein Anasim B'Yontif. You can't cook on Yontif for another day, even if the day that you're cooking for is Shabbos. So, if so, as the Gemara in Masechta Pesachim says, an Erev Tavshilin cannot accomplish that something that's awesome with the Raisa should become Mutter. So Rava teaches us a new concept. The concept is called Hoyel. Hoyel or Mikalei Orchim. Since guests may arrive, so even when I'm cooking on Friday, I'm cooking Friday Yontif, since guests might arrive any moment, and I would serve them this food that I'm cooking. Therefore, Hoyel tells us that I could cook now on Yontif. So therefore, I'm not doing any Issa D'Raisa when I'm cooking on Yontif, even though my main intention is to prepare the food for Shabbos. So therefore, it should be mutter to cook. However, as we learn in the Gemara, not to make any mistake, that it's always permitted. Again, Chazal instituted the concept of Erev Tavshilin. So there's a very fundamental, there are very fundamental nafgaminis between Rava and Rav Chisda's approaches la'alocha l'maisa. One nafgamina is if you're going to cook late in the day on Friday, that the food that you begin cooking at that point would not be ready to be eaten anyway at any point on Yontif. Hoyel, if the basis of the heter is hoyel, here we don't have a hoyel or mikalei orchim, because even if guests were to come, I couldn't serve this food to the guests, it would never be ready for them. So Rava wouldn't let us cook. According to Rav Chisda, we're allowed to cook. Tzarcha Shabbos nasa b'yontif. Another nafgamina that the Achroyim speak about is, let's say one cooks a food that nobody would eat, that's also to eat midrabanan. It's mutter midrais, it's also midrabanan, or something that people are machmenat to eat. If the point is, as Rav Chisda teaches us, that midaraisa tzorchi Shabbos nasim b'yontif, the person who did this was not mechal yontif. If on the other hand, the poor point is hoyul, that I could give it to guest, this food guest wouldn't eat, and therefore there is no concept of hoyul. There's also a very fundamental point to be made when we discuss hoyul. Hoyul is not some sort of blanket heter, as we now pointed out. It really goes a step further. There's a very interesting mashal. The mashal says in the Chochmas Shloima that if one lives in an area where he never has guests, no one ever comes, there we can't say hoyul. Hoyul, he says, the mashal, is not some sort of esoteric concept that because there's a concept that guests may come, I could do anything I want. It has to be within the realm of reality and possibility. And therefore, if there are no guests coming, even Rava will agree that Rava will tell us that there is no hoyul and you can't cook. There's also a very fundamental question that we have to address. In the last parak, we introduced the concept of mitoich. Mitoich told us, mitoich shehutra l'tzayrach, hutra l'ay l'tzayrach, that according to Beis Hillel, we're allowed to do melachos and yontif, even though they're not for eichel nefesh. Most rishonim and achronim, and that's the way we're going to learn our sugyas, hold that the two concepts of mitoich and hoyel are two separate concepts altogether. And therefore, they don't travel together. Mitoich is one concept. What is mutter on yontif for yontif itself? And hoyel is a concept that's used regarding what I can do on yontif if the next day is Shabbos. It goes without saying that, let's say we in Chutz Lords had Thursday, Friday, yontif, and then Shabbos, and we're relying on the Erev Tavshilin. One can only rely on the Erev Tavshilin on Friday, but on Thursday, the first day yontif, one cannot cook for Shabbos. So it teaches us the Mishnah. Yontif shechal li yitzarev Shabbos. If yontif comes out on Friday, la yivashal betchila mi yontif l'Shabbos, you're not allowed to cook on yontif for Shabbos. And again, it's an issur d'rabbanan, because according to Rav Chisda, we have the concept of the tzarchi Shabbos nasa b'yontif, and according to Rava, we have the concept of hoyl. But midrabbanan, we're not allowed to cook for Shabbos. And vashul yontif, he's allowed to cook for yontif. He's cooking food now to eat today. Vim hoyser, if there's leftover any food, hoyser l'Shabbos, he's allowed to use that leftover food for Shabbos. However, explained Rishonim, the person not allowed to make a haroma. He's not allowed to say, I'm cooking this food for Yontif, when he really knows that he's cooking the food really for Shabbos. Aster Tvo, what is the Mishnah teaching us? That you're allowed to cook on Yontif to eat on Yontif? We've already been discussing that Oichel Nefesh is permitted on Yontif. So he answers that the Mishnah is teaching us that we're dealing, obviously, with a situation that the person not making Erev Tavshilin. And this person that's cooking is cooking for the purpose of Yontif. And the Mishnah is teaching us that we do not tell him that he has to be careful to cook only exactly the amount that he needs for Yontif. He could cook as much as he wants, and if he has leftover, fine. Sfasemis, along the same line, says that since we said that he's not allowed to make a haroma, we would be concerned that we shouldn't let him cook if he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. Perhaps he's going to make a haroma. That's why Chazal tells us that we don't have to be concerned about this. Voice of Tavshil. Now, the commissioner introduces what can be done that if he wants to cook explicitly on this day, Yontif, on Friday, for Shabbos. Voice of Tavshil, Erev Yontif. He prepares a cooked dish before Yontif, v'soymach alav l'Shabbos, and he relies on it for Shabbos. This is the concept of Erev Tavshilin. And the Gemara in Mitzvashem will explain to us what are the mechanics, so to speak, of Erev Tavshilin. The Rishonim discuss how did this terminology, this name of Erev Tevshilin, what's the etymology of this title? The Rambam says that just like we find Erev Chatzeres, that through an Erev Chatzeres one can carry on Shabbos, through an Erev Tchumim one can go past the Tchum, so Erev Tevshilin is also, we use that word Erev, through an Erev one can cook on Friday for Shabbos. The Ravid explains, what is the concept of the word Erev Tevshilin? Because what it does is, it connects the Shabbos and Yontif as if it's one long Kedusha, and therefore you could cook from Friday to Shabbos. The Rama says that the concept of what Erev Tevshilin and the word of Erev Tevshilin means is that since the Erev Tevshilin is prepared from Erev Yontif, so it means that we already started cooking for Shabbos from Erev Yontif, and he didn't cook on Yontif. Erev Tevshilin, we're connecting Shabbos to before Yontif. Another pshat is that the moment, what is the moment that the Erev Tevshilin has to be in existence? Bein Harbayim, of Friday afternoon. That's why it's called Erev Tevshilin. So somebody puts down an Erev Tevshilin. We're going to learn. It's a machloikis. Do we have to have a cooked item and a baked item, as the Rebbeinu Tam learns? Other Rishonim disagree, and they say that a cooked item is enough. Oyster tafs from Erev Yontif, so somebody takes a cooked item from Erev Yontif, Samechalav on Shabbos, and based on that, he can cook for Shabbos. B'Shamay say, Shnei Tavshilin. You have to have two cooked dishes. So the Machloikis HaRishonim, how to understand B'Shamay. Some say, the Beis Shammai is telling us that we have to have two cooked items. One should be cooked and one should be roasted. So in order I should be able to cook for Shabbos on Yontif, and I should be able to roast or broil on Yontif for Shabbos. However, most Rishonim disagree, and they say the reason Beis Shammai requires to have two Tavshilin is because it's more significant when you have two Tavshilin. Or Beis Hillel Omrim, Tafshel Echad, Beis Hillel hold that one Tafshel is enough. However, Shavin, everyone agrees, Bedag Ubei Sha'olav, that if we have a fish and we have egg smeared on it, Shein Shnei Tafshilin, that's considered two cooked dishes. Poskim actually discuss this concept that we're considering an egg spread with eggs, fish with egg spread on it as two Tafshilin regarding other areas halacha. The halacha is that Erev Tisha B'Av, by the Suda Mafsekis, a person is not allowed to eat only one Tavshil. So the Shaila is this considered, if somebody would eat this dish, is it considered that he's eating two Tavshilim? Some Paiskim indeed want to be Machmer, but most are Mekel. They say because it's not, the reason we're not allowed to eat two Tavshilim by the Suda Mafsekis is because we don't want it to be considered a significant meal. It does, this dish, even though halachically it may be considered as two tavshilin, doesn't make it look like you're eating a significant meal, and therefore we could eat it Erev Tisha B'Av by the Sudam of Sekis. Another question that's asked is regarding Purim, but the Shalach Manos, that the halachas were supposed to send two manos. Is this considered two manos, two foods, or is it considered one? Ochloi, if the Erev was eaten, or she'avid, or was lost before the food that was needed for Shabbos was prepared, one cannot rely on the Erev if it's no longer in existence. However, if some of it is left over, then Shabbos, he can continue to cook based on it. As we're going to learn in the Gemara, as long as there is a kezias left. And the way Mefarshim explain that, the Sfasemis explains the Mishnah this way, even though he started with an Erev was a lot larger than a Kezias, if he has a Kezias of that Erev left, he can continue relying on it to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. Menon Emili, ask the Gemara, where in the Torah do we find a remez for Erev Tevshilin? And as the Mefarshim explained, there's Ritva in Masechet Shabbos, in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. The Ritva in Masechet Rosh Hashanah teaches us that although there are drabonins, everything that we find in a smachta anything that we find some sort of a basis in the Torah, what we understand is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, sending us a message in His holy Torah that this is the right thing to do. This is what I want you to do. I want you to create this concept of an Erev. Om Shmuel, so Shmuel says, Domakro, Zoch Hashem Shabbos L'Katshoi, the Torah tells us, remember the Shabbos, Zochreyu Me'achesh Shabbos L'Ashkichoi, remember it when you may come to forget it. Since if Yontif comes right before Shabbos, so afraid, as Rashi explains, that since he's going to eat a large yontif of meal, he won't have anything left over for Shabbos. That's why by making Erev Tashilin, he'll remember the Shabbos. The Ra'ah explains this Gemara, that since, as we've been learning, it's also to cook a yontif for Shabbos, so therefore a person may not have any food left for Shabbos. And the Torah says, Zochas Yom Shabbos L'Katshoi. So the Torah is telling us, do something that you should be able to cook on Yontif, and you should be able to enjoy the food that you will have, that you will eat on the next day on Shabbos Kodesh. My Tama, what's the reason Chazal told us to make an Erev Tashilin? Omer Rava, Kedei Sheyivra Mana Yofel Shabbos, or Mana Yofel Yontif. We want people to remember to set aside a proper portion of food for Shabbos and a proper for Yontif. Ravashi Amar Kedei Sheyomru. Ravashi has a different approach. People should remember, Ein Oifim Yontif L'Shabbos. We're not allowed to cook from Yontif to Shabbos. Kavachayim Yontif L'Choil. We now are telling people, unless you left an Erev, you're not going to be allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. And that will strengthen that they're not allowed to cook on Yontif for a weekday. So Rishonim point out, what are the practical nafkaminas between Rav Ashi and Rav's approach? So Rashi explains, you have that according to Rava, that the reason is to be mechabit Shabbos, kidei shiyiver mana yofel Shabbos mana yofel yontif. One has to put down the erev tashilin on erev yontif. He can't put down the erev tashilin a couple of days before yontif. It has to be that he's showing that he's preparing a nice portion for Shabbos and for Yontif. According to Rav Ashi, he could put down the Erev Tashilin even a couple of days before Yontif. Another nafkamina I saw is, let's say a person doesn't know if he's going to need an Erev Tashilin. He's not home for Shabbos. He doesn't have to cook anything for Shabbos. Should he still put down an Erev Tashilin or not? According to Rav's approach, that we want to show the chshivas of Shabbos, so therefore he should have to put down an Erev Tashilin, even if he's not necessarily going to use it. It's a mitzvah to make an Erev Tashilin. On the other hand, according to Rav Ashi, that it should only be a reminder not to do something inappropriate, not to cook from Yontif to the weekdays. Therefore, if he's not going to cook, he doesn't need this reminder. Pnei Yeshua tries to say another nafkamina. He says that we spoke about when we learned the Mishnah, if one has to put down just a cooked item, or does he also have to put down a baked item? Says the Pnei Yeshua, if the point is Kedei Sheyiver Mana Shabbos, Mana Yofel Shabbos, or Mana Yofel Yontif, so then as long as you put down anything, you have shown that you have made something chash for Shabbos and something chash for Yontif. But if it's to serve as this reminder not to make a mistake, so that for every type of cooking, you should probably have to have your own reminder. Tanan, we asked the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, Ois Tashmei Erev Yontif, a Tashik Remain Erev Yontif, Vesamech Lev L'Shabbos. Bishlam Rav Ashi asked the Gemara, Domer, they explained that the reason the Erev Tashilin is made, Kedei Shemer, people should remember, Ein Oifim Yontif L'Shabbos, that you're not allowed to cook from Yontif L'Shabbos, Hainim Erev Yontif in, that's why it should remain an Erev Yontif, but Yontif Loi, but you can't make it on Yontif, because to show that we began preparing from before Yontif, El L'Rava, but according to Rava, that the point is to be Mevarer, Amon Yontif L'Shabbos, and a mono yofel yontif, ask the Gemara, my area, my erev yontif, what is the erev tashilin have to be put down from erev yontif? I feel the yontif nami, why can't you just put down the erev tashilin on yontif? Answers the Gemara, nechanami. But right, you should be able to put down the erev tashilin on yontif. But we said that you should be put down before Yontif. Sometimes on Yontif, people are preoccupied and we're concerned that they won't put down the Erev. If we don't tell them to put it down before Yontif, they'll forget to put it down on Yontif. But Tana, a different Tana, brings a proof from a pasuk for the concept of Erev. Ervin Mahocha, Maisla Mahocha. The Torah says, Asher Ta'afu Afu Vestavashelu Bashelu. Mikan Omer Abelezer. Ein Oifin Ala Ofi. We're not allowed to bake on Yontif for the Shabbos unless something was already baked from before Yontif. Mevashna Ela Mevusho. We're only allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos if something was already cooked from before Yontif. Mikan Samcha Chachomim La Erev Tavshilin Min Atayra. This is a Mikar for Erev Tavshilin. This Gemara, the Rishonim point out, seems to indicate, like Rabbeinu Tam, that we have to have an Erev Tavshilin, both something cooked and something baked. Tana Rabbanan. Ma'aseh Rabbi Elazar shayoshev adarish kol yom kuloy bilchus yontif. Rabbi Elazar was sitting and teaching the halachos of Yontif, the entire day of Yontif. Many Rishonim say that this was on Rosh Hashanah. Yotzitz Kos Rishonim, middle of the Shir, a first group left out. Amar Halalu Bali Petisim. These are people who have large barrels, and that's why they have a lot of wine to drink, and they left the Shir. Kaishni, the second group left, Amar Halalu Bali Chavyas. They have regular sized barrels. Kaishlishis Amar Halalu Bali Kadim, just their pitchers, and they're going to drink the pitchers. Kaishuvias, Amar Halalu Bali Leginim. They have flasks. Kaschemishis, Amar Halalu Bali Kaisu, they only have cups, so they can leave even later. His chilu case shishis lotis. The sixth group began to leave. Amar Halalu Bali Meira. These people should be cursed. Nosna ena b'talmidim. Now the Rebbe Elazar looked about the talmidim. His chilu panei mishtanim, and faces began to become pale. They were afraid that he was upset at them as well. Amalhem, bonai, my children, loy lechem ani oimer. I'm not speaking to you. I'm upset at the people that left. They left the eternal life, learning Torah, to go to eat, just temporary needs, just eat Sudas Yontif. So the Mefarshim may ask a few interesting questions. One question is, why did the sixth group, who left the latest, get the biggest curse? Halal Balamir, they should be cursed. Shouldn't the people who left earlier certainly get cursed? So Mefarshim explained, I saw this from the Stipler. The earlier people, the people who left earlier, didn't show that they're not really interested in learning. The last group were people who are of a high madrega. They stayed for a very significant amount of the shir. So if you're a person that appreciates and understands what Limud HaTorah is, and you leave, you're a Bali Me'era, then you deserve to get cursed. The Chasam Sofer says that the reason they're called Bali Me'era is because if somebody leaves a Beis Medrash early, he's certainly a person that would leave a Beis Knesset early. And he says that the Gemara says, in Masechta Brachos, somebody has a shul in his neighborhood and doesn't go to Davin, Tavim Me'ero. So he's cursed. Another pshat he says is, because probably during Rabbi Elazar's shir, he was telling them different halachas that they should follow, and they didn't want to hear. So he cursed them that a person who doesn't want to hear what he's supposed to say, the person who doesn't want to mekabel the gzeiros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the gzeiros of Rabbanan, deserves to be cursed. Rabbi Elazar says that somebody that's going to eat the Sudas Yontif is called Oiskin B'chai Yishar. So the Meshech Chachma points out that we find in Shas that eating Sudas Yontif is called Oiskin B'chai Yishar, and eating and davening is called Chai Yishar. Learning Torah is called Chai Olam. So he explains beautifully. He says eating a Yontif de Gemil, you could only be Mekayim on Yontif. You can't get mitzvah for eating a Yontif de Gemil not on Yontif. Davening also has zmanim when you're allowed to daven. She says, davening and eating a Sudas Yontif is chayishah. It's limited only to certain hours. Torah, on the other hand, says the Meshech Chacham, is chayayolam. We always learn Torah. The Torah is magisa by yom v'layla. Pshas p'tirasam. when they were going to leave after the Shir, Amar lahem, L'chu ichlu mishmanim, eshesu mamtakim, go home and eat food and drink beverage, v'shilchu mayonos la'inochan loy, send portions to somebody who needs, we'll explain that soon, k'kodesh hayoyim ladaneinu, v'ta'atzvu, don't be upset, ki chedves Hashem, himo'eschem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's joy is your security. Amar, shemenich chai oylem v'oskim chai yishol, that he was upset that they left the Shir to go eat. Ask the Gemara for Simchas Yontiv mitzvah. Isn't it a mitzvah to eat on Yontiv? So they were going to do a mitzvah. Answer the Gemara, Belezel Tamei. Dharma Simchas Yontiv Rishos. Belezel holds that Simchas Yontiv is not required. But the Miri says that even if Belezel holds that Simchas Yontiv is a Rishos, it doesn't mean that you should fast on Yontiv. It just means that you don't have to spend the day with just more than the basic meals. The Tanya, Rav Elazar Omer, Ein lo ila adam b'yontif, what is a person's obligation in yontif? Ela oichel v'shoysa, either to eat and drink, or yosh v'shoyna. Vishu Omer, chalkeyu, chetz yil Hashem, half of it should be la Hashem, learning, davening, v'chetz yil Hashem, and half of it should be used for drinking. Omer Rav Yochanan, eating and drinking. Omer Rav Yochanan, b'shnei mikra echa darshu. They both came to this conclusion using the same psukim. Kos v'acharay matzeres l'Hashem l'kecha, should be for Hashem. For kos v'acharay matzeres tiyeh l'chem, should be for you. Ha keitzed, Rabbi Elazar sov, Rabbi Elazar holds that the Torah is giving us two options. Oy kula l'Hashem, oy kula l'chem, either or. And Rabbi Yeshua sov, chalkeyu chetzi l'Hashem, v'chetzi l'chem, that a person should be half for Hashem and half for you. And the Mefarshim point out that these psukim are mentioned by Shavuos, which is the Chag of Matan Torah. Why do we speak about Matan Torah specifically to teach us that it's Lochem? So the Mefarshim explained, we're supposed to show that we are happy that we received the Torah. If people wouldn't eat on Yom Kippur, people would say, you know why they're not eating? Because they're not happy that they received the Torah. Another pshat that I saw is what makes us Jews unique is that we could bring Kedusha even into the mundane, meaning that we could bring Kedusha even into eating and drinking. That's what Kabbalah Satorah taught us, that the eating and drinking is also a mitzvah. Another pshat that I saw is that we know that Yaakov and Esav had a debate and they divided the world. Yaakov gets Olam Hazah, Esav gets Olam Hazah. So now Esau comes back to Yaakov and says, how do you have Olam Hazah? So Yaakov says, because I received the Torah, and without the Torah there would be no world. So on the Yom of Matan Torah, we want to show that we now really saved the world, and we deserve Olam Hazah, and that's why we should have Lechem also. So the Pasuk says, V'shulchem monos lein nochon loy, my lein nochon loy, what does it mean somebody's not prepared? Omer of chizdol mishloy niyachalev tashilin. If somebody and then leave Erev Tashilin, so you can't cook on Yom Tov Shabbos, so send them food. Ikadamri, Mishaloi Hoyloi Lanich Erev Tashilin. Somebody who wasn't able, he didn't have the ability to leave in Erev Tashilin. A Misha Hoyloi Erev Tashilin. If somebody was able to leave Erev Tashilin, for Loi Niach, and we didn't leave it for him, Peshei, who is considered negligent, and we're not obligated to send him. It's still a mitzvah to give people tzedakah, but the obligation is not there. The Pasuk said, Ki Chedvas Hashem Himu Eschem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the joy of Hashem is your security. What does that mean? Amar Rav Yochanan Shimon Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. Amar Lam Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael. Bani, Bonai, my children, Vualai, borrow my account, the Kitchen Kitchen Sayoim, to properly treat the Shabbos, the Yontif properly. Faminabi, you could trust that I'll Vani Pereya and I'll pay back. Farshim point out, Chedves Hashem Yoschem, if a person is Mekayim Simchas Yontif, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu al tzchar for being Mekayim Simchas Yontif gives us back that we could be secure. Taisus asks that here the Gemara says Levu alai, borrow on my account v'ani pareya, and I'll pay back. Ask Taisus that the Gemara says Masechta Pesachim asei Shabbat chachol v'al tzedarach l'brius, you shouldn't borrow, you should rely, you should just minimize what you take. So Taisra says it's talking about a person who doesn't have what to pay back. If a person doesn't have what to pay back, he should not borrow. Agamemnon is talking about a person who doesn't have funds available, but will be able to pay back. he should borrow. The Gra says, same concept. We have to see if the person has assets or doesn't have. Others want to explain that our Gemara is talking about Yontif, and the Gemara over there is speaking about Shabbos. Yontif, there's a specific issue of Asei Shabbat Chachol. The other Mefarshim explain that it depends on who you are. If you are a person, Levu Alai, that you have complete amuna and bitachin in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that will take care of you, Vani Pareya, then he should borrow and he could be confident that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will pay back. However, if a person isn't on that level of bitachin, so then he should be a Seishavat Chachol, Vatat Staruch Labrius.